Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, Long, you're a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Thunderstruck.
Morning, here we go. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay, and I am currently the only one here. Ha ha, because Derek Piper is running in from the street. He just got caught by the longest train in the history of Philo, Illinois. It doesn't even stop. It was going like 2 miles an hour, and I knew he was behind it. But he's here, alas. And Pipes and I will be carrying on a great show. We're actually off a little bit early today. Cardinals baseball, they're down in Tampa. I'm supposed to be down in Tampa. I think I sent an email to Derek Piper about 6 months ago saying, hey, I'm probably going to go to this thing, but I didn't end up going.
Blame Kyle.
That's what I'm going to do. That's right, because even if I would have gone, we would have been in trouble because Kyle's not here. But he will
be. How dare him not, or how dare he, I think is the actual correct English, take some time off and leave us right to where we're strapped and we actually have to do the show together.
I mean,
like day in and day out.
I guess it is Tay and Piper. You think if we threw his name in the title, he'd show more vested interest in this thing? Otherwise, it's
we
just
try it.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, what? He's coming into a sophomore year, so I got to spend a few more days with mom and dad and my brother. I mean, come on. No, listen, we're glad that he's able to.
We say that very much kidding.
We both love our parents.
Of course.
Right. So obviously, you know, I got something coming up here. When I was in college, I could not wait to get home after my freshman year. I was ready to get back home, kind of get some of mom's cooking, get back to life that I knew it, you know, back with my buddies, that kind of stuff, you know, and there was certainly that normality that I kind of wanted to get back to, even though I had a great freshman year at SIU, made a lot of great friends, and I was never really homesick, but I was just excited to get back home. After my sophomore year, the thought of going home was basically just dread. And I know that mom listened, so I'm sorry, mom. It's nothing against you. I still wanted to see you, and I enjoyed when you took trips down to SIU, though I think you took more to see my brother at Illinois State, but that's for another day. We'll talk about that
later.
That
never came up at a dinner table.
Right?
Never has it, but.
No. Well, it's so much easier to get to ISU is what I do. Uh-huh. Anyway, that said, I just, after my sophomore year I was in, were you kind of the same way?
I mean, I went to U of I, and I'm a Champaign product,
right,
so it was very easy for me to go home. But yes, later on in college, yeah, it's the summer, but you know the bars are still open.
Yeah,
and, can still have fun and do your thing. So,
see, you were almost dangerously close to home.
I would say that's accurate.
To where you were expected.
There was expectations
right,
a little bit. Yeah.
Right. Whereas I had to fill up the tank with gas. I'm a poor college student. drive 3 hours. I mean, you know.
But my mom would probably counter with, well, if I went to SIU, I'd probably learn how to go to a laundromat and get those quarters and learn how to do your laundry instead of just showing up every Friday and be like, hey, I got this stash of laundry. If you got some time.
If yeah, right. And you knew.
And it wasn't even like, okay, you know where it is. She was always kind of, she spoiled me. I mean,
you know that thing? Those would be folded and fresh
by
Sunday and you'd have another week of clothes.
Yes.
That is true. That is true about heading where I did to Southern is that, you know, you learned how to pay bills. Not that you didn't. You learned how to do your laundry. You learned how to cook. Just a lot of that kind of stuff that I think are the huge things about college, just going out on your own and figuring things out. Mm-hmm. So college athletes get on campus early. We know this.
Sure do.
And football, of course, I think day six today, or five or six, I've lost track now, of Illinois training camp as they get set. So I downloaded a couple of bites here for one from Casey Washington, who's now in his fifth year at Illinois, and also another from Barry Lunny Jr. about this wide receiver room. I was hoping to find something from George McDonald, who spoke to the media today, but I haven't seen it yet. So maybe if that comes up, we can play a little bit of Coach McDonald. But that wide receiver room is something that I wanted to kind of talk to you about today as we go along and kind of get your take on that, because, you know, the defensive side of the ball, we feel like we kind of know some answers there. We kind of know where the glaring, I don't want to say weakness, the glaring question will be in that secondary. So on the Illini offensive side, you know, is the question mark maybe more as the running back? Is it more of the receiver? So I want to ask you about that as we go along. Real quick, our guy, Aaron Lemming, will join us at 3:30. I know you're hyped up to talk some Chicago Bears.
I am.
Isn't it amazing what just one year can do? Last year, Aaron and I even texted about this last night. He's like, you guys, you know me. I'm always like, man, we really appreciate it. And he's like, Lon, anytime. I really, truly enjoy coming on. But he's like, at least this year we've got some things to look forward to. He's like, last year was a drag. I'm like, yeah, it was almost, I felt bad watching Pipes. And then I told him, I said, unfortunately, I have that burden this year. But for you to look forward to Chicago Bears football, no Aaron Rodgers.
That's part of it, yeah.
I did like what Detroit did with their backup QB.
Brought in Teddy Bridgewater?
That's right.
Yeah.
I like
all
that.
All he does seemingly is win whenever they're starting quarterback in front of him gets hurt.
I know Goff looked good last year, and I think Jared Goff's a pretty good quarterback, but I like what Detroit did. They almost are acting like they could win a division. They're acting like that.
Of course.
That. Now, something will happen because it's the Detroit Lions, right? But other than that, I mean, and of course Minnesota's good again, but no Dalvin Cook. So no Aaron Rodgers, no Dalvin Cook. You add Bridgewater to the division, but still – there's an excitement level for you about these Bears.
100%. And it does – the core of it is Justin Fields' progression last year. I know that there is still a lot of nitpicking, and not saying that it's not for very good reason in terms of his passing, for sure. Like, he still has to become a more efficient passer, better downfield, and all of that. And with that, you would hope in terms of translating as you get DJ Moore, get a full season of Chase Claypool. I was listening, and I texted my buddies today. I was listening to a Chicago Bears podcast on The Athletic with Hogue and Johns, and they were talking about there's a lot of positive buzz about Claypool and training camp right now, which is a little – look, there's positive buzz, and I've joked about it. I joked about it last week. There's positive buzz on just about any player in the league, most likely.
Our kicker made a field goal.
And there's some clip on Twitter, and you're trying to sift through all that, but people that have actually been there day in and day out said, hey, he looks pretty good. That is encouraging for a guy you spent a second-round pick on to be able to acquire. So the weapons have been upgraded around Justin Fields. I hope the offensive line is enough of a step forward, and I'm curious to hear what Aaron Lemming has to say about that, because they have gone out and added some new pieces. They got a guy in the draft and Darnell Wright, and then also you get Gabe Davis. Not Gabe Davis, the receiver for the Bills. Davis, the guard out of the Titans, to really solidify that group up front for him. So, yes, then when you're pairing that with, you no longer have to see, hopefully, a Hall of Fame quarterback in Green Bay. If Jordan Love is that, I quit.
I quit. Move on.
No Aaron Rodgers. It's a transition year in Green Bay. The Lions are a fun team and an offensively talented team. Are they a good or really good team?
That's fair.
And being able to step into that now, is their defense good enough? That's or just having expectations around them, the highest probably in a long time, and the Vikings can score it. And yes, you have to deal with Justin Jefferson, but their defense is pretty average, maybe at best.
Mm-hmm.
And they won a ton of close games last year. And it's kind of the thing that a lot of people point to going into a new season and say, all right, this team was in 10 one-score games and they won like 8 of them. Well, the next year, it's a good chance that quote-unquote luck doesn't go their way.
Amen.
And they maybe take a step back. So I'm excited. I'm hoping to be the witness of the next Jalen Hurts type of progression in terms of Fields and what they put around him. Yes, the Eagles have done as well as anybody in terms
remarkable.
Of checking every box on, yes. on their roster. Even just can the Bears be this year's Jacksonville Jaguars, who found their way into the playoffs, made some noise by beating the Chargers in one of the wildest playoff games I can remember. But yes, I'm excited. It's kind of the long, the long-winded answer to your question, but that's the point. I want to talk
exactly.
Bears football because I'm excited.
Well, no, and we're going to do that again with Aaron Lemming at 3:30. It's interesting what you said about the Eagles. Not only did they just absolutely zip to the top getting in the Super Bowl, but then they had all those draft picks. I mean, they have done everything right in the last couple of years. So kudos to the Eagles. I'm sure they're going to be near the top for a while, especially with a guy like Jalen Hurts and a great wide receiver crew. And, of course, a good running back now.
Well, they have
they
have everything, but they have a good safety.
That's what it is. I knew I'd get that wrong. I knew I would get that wrong. Chase with the Bengals. My fault. That is absolutely my fault. One thing I thought of while you were talking about the Bears, you mentioned, like, Detroit and – I thought to myself, it seems like home field advantage means something in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think some sports, I'm not sure it means a lot in baseball. I don't know. I mean, you've got the hammer, right? You get to kind of bat last. That certainly makes a big difference in terms of the game itself. But in terms of, you know, going into another stadium, I don't know. Does it play that much of a factor? I'm sure it does. But in the NFL, I feel like it does. So I always like to get this perspective. As a Bears fan, you being a Bears fan, when you guys go to Detroit or Minnesota or Green Bay, now I think Green Bay, I think I know the answer here. Is there one of those spots or just how do you feel about all three in terms of going in there? Like, are you scared to go play at Lambeau? I would assume.
Yes. I'm terrified of everything Green Bay. Although
just
I'm not terrified
green,
of Jordan
like,
Love,
ah!
But yes, I have been conditioned for the 32 years of my life,
yes,
to fear the Green Bay Packers.
Absolutely. Now,
and Lambeau's an awesome venue,
right?
And it's a very tough place to play.
I would assume. And it's cold. I mean, there's just all the ingredients of...
Just wait until... And now, you're going to get me on a soapbox, but wait till the Bears move into their new stadium and play indoors, and then it's a disadvantage for a northern team to go a few hours north to play Green Bay, and it's like, well, this team isn't... How will they handle the snow and the cold? And soft. I hate it.
Maybe Justin Fields wants that dome.
I'm sure he's going to be that much
him.
Quicker on on turf, but still.
I would hate to play in cold weather.
I know.
I would hate it. Now, football guys, I think they have a different mentality, and I don't think they worry about it. They don't even wear sleeves.
No, and their arms have to be just numb. They can't feel
freezing.
Feel those.
And your body gets tight in the cold. I just wouldn't like it. Now, you got Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the skull.
That's a good fan base.
I love that fan base.
And the horn, man.
To start the game.
Well, they got the horn to start the game.
Oh,
and
that's
every
right.
First down.
Or whatever that. I can't do it.
I'm glad you tried because I was thinking about trying. I was like, it's going to sound bad. Don't do it.
I sounded more like the what was the thing in the World Cup?
Oh, the Vuvuzela.
Yeah, the Vuvuzela years ago. So that did get annoying.
Terrible.
What do you think of going into Minnesota? Is it obviously not as much as Lambeau, but what do you feel like when the Bears go to Minnesota?
I think it's a team, for the most part, the Bears have played pretty well.
Yeah.
Like throughout my lifetime. Prior, you go early 2000s when they had Randy Moss and Dante Culpepper.
Ooh.
I mean, and then you went into that dome. That was pretty terrifying,
yes,
as well. But
yes,
it is, again, like, they have a really good team. Their fan base shows out, and it's a loud... When you're in that enclosed environment, it's a really loud place to play, and I think that is a tough venue,
yep,
especially when it's a big game. Now, like, it's been a while since I've been – it's been enough to have like a Bears game that you really pinpoint and focus and like you try to go analyze every aspect of it. Oh, the actual environment of the game, the crowd's going to be fired up to see the Bears because it's a big game. It's been a little while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, Minnesota tough. Not as tough as Green Bay, I don't think.
Right.
But then Detroit.
Definitely third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always one where you anticipate their – now in their good years,
yeah,
they could – be in a better position, but for the most part, it's the Bears and Lions, unfortunately, looking eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Bears in their years and the Lions down, but maybe a kind of like invade your territory type of situation. If the Bears are good, then they'll have a good showing there in Detroit. And the Lions, that's where I'm very, very, and I want to hit on this later because today is, and we're going to, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we got Aaron Lemon coming on, but tonight is the first showing of Hard Knocks.
Oh.
First episode. You got the New York Jets, who I think is the most intriguing team to me.
I don't think there's any
NFL.
Doubt.
So I put together a list, the top five intriguing teams in the NFL for this upcoming season.
Nice.
I have the Lions on there. I'll put that out there.
But
I think later in the show we should discuss it.
I love it.
And with that, I think that the Lions, just their fan base turnout and just what that looks like for them in a year, there's a lot of expectations, will be interesting.
I'm kind of – now, it's not that I'm pulling against the Bears, right? I've always said they've always been kind of my second favorite team. I don't mind when they do well because I have a lot of friends that are Bears fans. You are. So I enjoy kind of seeing you guys have fun on Sundays and during the week. But it's kind of – it will be kind of cool to see if the Lions do well. And I think they would be a team that I could easily kind of jump on board with and pull for them to get some wins because they've just haven't much in my lifetime. Now, I got one more about this division, then I want to switch sports real quick. When you were – I'm assuming you loved Barry Sanders, right? I mean, all of us loved watching Barry Sanders. What was that like to not only kind of enjoy watching him, but then knowing you had to play against him?
Yeah, it was a little – I was a little young.
Oh, that's true.
Because he retired, what, late 90s?
Yeah.
Is that probably right?
I just thought of that.
So I wasn't that old, but mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen a million clips and he was just dynamic, electric.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but yeah, in terms of me being maybe old enough to fully comprehend or fully appreciate, I was a little on the young side in that sense. I got to see, like I mentioned, Randy Moss.
Yes.
Saw Brett Favre. I've seen some really fun players in this division, Aaron Rodgers.
No doubt.
fun/talented/guys that I learned to hate. But
Mark Chimura.
Yeah.
How many just Dorsey Levens? Now, that was too young for you.
I know Dorsey Levens.
You talk about a fantasy guy.
Antonio Freeman.
Yes. Yes.
On that team.
Dorsey Levens was one of those, like, one of the first kind of guys that really excelled at the catch. So when fantasy football, you loved having, I think he was number 34. You loved having Dorsey Levens on your team because you knew he was going to just fill up the stat book because Favre would, Favre or did he play with Rodgers? Probably not. So Favre would always just kind of check down to Levens and it was just easy 8 yards, easy points for you in fantasy. And it's like, let's go.
And after that, they've had a nice stretch of running backs.
They
like
really
Amon
have.
Green
yes.
Was really darn good. Obviously played with Favre. I don't know if Rodgers caught the tail end. I don't think he did because it was Ryan Grant.
Mm.
Kind of
they have had some good
someone that I don't think was drafted highly but turned out to be a very productive.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I know, right?
Of course he did. All right, so we will talk some Bears coming up in about 6 minutes with Aaron Lemming. Let me switch a little bit. We should have talked more about him yesterday because now all the Cubs fans are going to be like, oh, now that we lose the game, you're going to bring
it up. Talk Cubbies.
But we do have pennant chase fever with the Cubs, right? Wow. 2.5, I think, back now.
Out of the wild card.
That's right. They lose last night to the Mets 11-2. That did not go well out in New York. And, of course, the Mets are one of those teams that has really failed this season. I mean, you talk about the Cardinals being frustrated. Imagine being the Mets with their payroll and doing what they've done. They're dead last in the East. So it's one of those that I'm sure New York fans are not happy about, but yet the Cubs lose this first game. They've played so well, as we mentioned, winning, 2 of 3 against the Braves, 3 of 4 against the Reds. You lose the opener. Are we yet in the frame where you feel like it's almost like a must-win every night, or is there still plenty of baseball left? You got 2 full months, essentially.
There's enough baseball left.
Okay. I think you're right. I think you're right.
But that you don't want to go to New York and drop a series against a team that's one of the most disappointing squads in baseball.
That would struggle. Taillon.
Yep.
That's how you said he's on the hill tonight. So the Cubbies will need to bounce back. And, of course, you can hear that. Is it 105.9?
U.S. 105.9.
Okay, 105.9. That's got all the Cubs games, of course. Cardinals, as I started this segment with, we're off early today, around 4:45 or so, for Cardinals pregame, being down in Tampa. What did you think of the Orioles announcer being suspended two games? Is that – let me tell you exactly what that is. Hey, Baltimore, act like you've been there.
Yeah.
They now feel like, well, we are one of the better teams in baseball, and then the announcer does nothing wrong. Just points out exactly what is even on the screen, and they suspend him for two games, and they are being absolutely butchered for this.
It's a joke.
As they should be.
Yeah, they deserve all of it. And he just pointed out facts and stats of them – when they purposely were losing games to get high draft picks and really do that full rebuild to get Adley Rutschman, to get Gunnar Henderson. And it would be a different situation, I think, which, again, you could put any broadcaster in that spot, and if he's just talking about win and loss results, like, how can you fault them? There's no bias on general. But
there's no opinion.
If the Royals guy, who they're still horrible, and if he's talking about how horrible – This Royals team's been really against anybody, then maybe you're like, okay, sell it a little bit more so people are sticking with us. The Orioles guy, and I think it's – is it Kevin Miller?
Kevin Brown? I think Brown.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Brown,
who used to be a pitcher.
Different guy.
Yeah, different guy.
Where he's talking about – he's just putting the contrast of this is what the Orioles were doing against the Rays for a long stretch of time. Now they've actually had their best showing against them because – the Orioles are having a great season.
To me, he's almost talking up the team.
Yeah, it's just a reference point of, this season has been pretty good, hasn't it, Orioles fans? It's ridiculous.
Very strange.
They should come out, the ownership should come out with a formal apology because they look terrible in this.
They look like idiots. That's exactly what they do. All right, if you want to weigh in, 359-2255, I've got to pull up the U of I line, link text line. I have not done that yet. Anything of note?
Randy says that Lewis Riddick and Mike Tannenbaum picked the Green Bay Packers to win the division.
Ooh.
They said they love Jordan Love.
Oh, boy.
Discussing on Get Up this morning.
Oh, boy.
Lewis Riddick also loved Mitch Trubisky, so I'll throw that out there.
Well, then that's all you needed to tell me. In a second, Tapman's towing phone line will be in use with Aaron Lemming, Bears Report. We're going to talk to him about the Chicago Bears. Next hour, we'll talk a little Illinois football. Maybe focus in on that wide receiver room. I want to ask Pipe some questions there. And he has his five most interesting NFL teams for this season. Is that right?
I do.
Is that how you
most
put it?
Most intriguing.
Most intriguing.
Same thing. Intriguing, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically the same adjective, right? Is that an adjective?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're good.
It's been a long time since I took English. All right, let's get out of here. Have Aaron Lemming come in next. We are back. It is The Drive. When you're looking for a business to work with, you choose someone local, someone who's terrific at what they do, a company that helps others in need in Champaign-Urbana, and a company that stands behind what they do. That company is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors has been keeping the rain out for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy and their family work hard to not only make sure you're 100% satisfied by their work, but that they also strive to have a positive impact on Champaign-Urbana. Roof Doctors in Urbana, they make you their number one priority.
Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company is looking for drivers with their CDL and great driving record to join their team. What a terrific company, invested in so many charities in our community and giving their staff opportunities for growth, health and dental insurance, paid time off for vacations, holidays, and family leave. This is the type of environment you've been looking for, drivers. Of course, Pepsi is an equal opportunity employer as they search for a good representative of the company to help with deliveries. Learn more online at PepsiColaCU.com.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, bringing us our Stevie J Broadcasting Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
We just celebrate police because they ought to be celebrated, folks. Difference between anarchy and peace. We have Officer Chloe Folks. She is our Law Enforcement Official of the Month. She's at the Urbana Police Department. So why did you want to be a police officer?
And I guess I've always had a passion for serving my community. I always make the joke that growing up, I used to watch Criminal Minds instead of Barney. And I just always had a passion in watching those shows and being interested in how to help other people.
What do you want people to know about police officers?
I want people to know that we are out there to help. I know there's kind of a stigma with police officers, but I genuinely love seeing people. I love hearing new stories every single day, doing something new outside of just a normal, mundane desk job. We have fun out there. We help people, but there's also the risk, scary side of it, but that's the risk that I'm willing to take to see new people.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, delivering within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, supporting our Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design, and right now we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper. You can't touch this. Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com, click on the Jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
A little love for ELO. Is that the name of the band, or is it Mr. Blue Sky?
I wouldn't be able to answer that one.
Did Isaac Ambrose have this one? I think he did. In his brief time with us, old Isaac kind of got the raw end of a deal there, but I won't go into specifics. But, yeah, I always miss Isaac. Always enjoy having him and all of our interns and producers, and starting not to like Kyle because he's deciding that he likes things other than us, so he doesn't show up to work. So,
can't believe it.
I do like giving them crap when they're not here. Then I know if they listen.
You wonder if they're listening.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Like Hans would text in every once in a while during the week, because you know he was just a one day a week guy. Hey, you know, defending himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows up on Friday and he's the star of the show. But shout out Hans D.
Yeah, Hans D told me like a month and a half ago he's going to run by. And here we are. Mm. So unless he's come by on a day I wasn't here, did he show up Friday? And
he was not here Friday.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I think Hans got him a job as a private flight or a pilot. So I'm excited for. We got to catch up with Hans.
Let's do it.
I mean, I don't even know how to say his job title because he doesn't care to say hi to us anymore. Well, the guy that never says no to me is Aaron Lemming. What's up, Aaron?
What's going on, man? That was a low blow right there.
That was pretty good of me, actually, to just think of that. Can I give myself a hold on?
You can do it. It's okay.
So the story is that Derek tried to get you on Friday, but obviously you were tied up and busy and you couldn't do it. Derek's like, hey, Aaron couldn't join us Friday. Maybe he could do it this week. You know, that's all he said. But now I want to make some spectacle out of it and say, well, obviously he joins me when I ask him. So thanks, Aaron.
I love you, Derek.
Love you too,
don't
Aaron.
Let him get you down.
I figure this will be the only time I speak during this interview. So if you know, because now Derek's going to go on about a 20-minute rampage on the excitement.
I'm still no less excited. I'll just let you know that.
Can I ask you this? There's been a lot of people saying that your quarterback, Mr. Fields, is going to make a huge jump this year. And I know he did last year, but is it almost like, are expectations almost a little high? I know Derek had even mentioned some saying possible MVP. I mean, is that putting too much on him this year?
I think so. I mean, I think we have to be realistic, right? I mean, obviously everybody points to Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen and all these year three jumps, and that would be great. I think he's absolutely capable of that. But, I mean, we're talking historic jumps in year three from those two guys. So I think, obviously, he needs to take the next step forward as a passer, right? And I think that's the big thing. But I just – looking at this offense and what they're trying to do, I mean, just look at their last signing with Mercedes Lewis, the tight end. I mean, he's a run blocker and a pass blocker, right? So he's more of a blocking kind of guy. I think they're still going to run the ball a lot this year. And I think if you even go back and you look at some of these Green Bay offenses over the last few years, I mean, the emphasis is still going to be on running the ball, which means – you know, Justin Fields isn't going to be throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game, which means he's not going to be consistently throwing for 300-plus yards. So I think there's a lot of progression that can be made, but I think that in terms of looking at, you know, what some people are projecting him as, I mean, to be an MVP quarterback, and MVP as a whole, I mean, you're talking probably 4,500 yards, another 7,800 yards rushing. And that just feels like a lot for anybody, especially somebody going into year three with a lot of new weapons on the offensive side of the ball.
Aaron, to follow that up, and you mentioned being able to run the ball and be effective there. A big part of that last year was Justin Fields himself, not to take away from David Montgomery and obviously also Khalil Herbert, who I want to ask you about as we go along. But do you get the sense that the Bears are still comfortable with Fields running as much as he did last year? And what do you think that production can look like coming off a season in which he had the second most rushing yards in a season in the history of the NFL, just behind Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of a key thing, right? Because, I mean, Ryan Poles was asked about that, and Matt Eberflus has been asked about that. And I think there's a very fine balance, right, when you're looking at Justin Fields' game and saying, hey, we want to dial up some runs for him. We don't want to take away his creativity, you know, as a runner, you know, when the pocket breaks down and when he extends the play. But at the same time, I think when you look at some of these rushing quarterbacks over the last 5 or 10 years that have consistently ran the ball as much as Fields has, it's not very sustainable long term. So I think they just have to get it a little bit more controlled and obviously not take away the creativity. But I think there is a balance, right, where I don't think you want him rushing for 1,000 yards again. I don't think you want him anywhere near 1,000 yards. I think somewhere in the 700, 750 range makes sense, especially with the way he's able to improvise. But I think that, you know, I mean, look at his first 2 years in the league. I mean, there have been times both years. I mean, he hasn't played a full 17 games or 16 games a year prior. You know, he's missed times with injuries. And I think that obviously they haven't been big injuries, but I think that's one of the things that they've really got to, you know, kind of hone in on, is figuring out what's too much, what isn't enough. Like you pointed out with the run game, I mean, yeah, they averaged almost 178 yards rushing last year, but I think if you take out Justin Fields' totals from last year, they didn't have a very good rushing attack, which is why I think they completely went in and redid the running back group.
Aaron, one of my fears is that, well, I have maybe a couple, because this is still a team that projected win total 7.5, and it may be still a year away from really popping the way I think a lot of Bears fans are excited that they could, but I wonder the way that Fields has played, just the environment around him with an offensive line that I think took, 55 sacks last year. Wow. Essentially, he's been asked to – he gets dropped on an interstate and dodge traffic and really just make sure you don't get killed, which to his credit, he hasn't. But then a lot of times the play breaks down, he runs. I wonder if that sense is still in him to, instead of sitting back and reading the field, he'll be looking to escape a little too early. What do you make of that, and do you think it'll – this is a two-parter. Do you think it will improve in terms of the offensive line giving him the time to throw this year?
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the big concerns, right, where, you know, that's where it needs to be a little bit more controlled, and the fact that you don't want to take away his instincts, but at the same time, like, you want him hanging back in the pocket. I think that's kind of a two-pronged thing, right, because I think you're looking at, one, the offensive line, which – here's what I'll say about the offensive line. I think as the season goes on, it will be vastly improved. I do think that there are going to be some speed bumps out of the gate, which will make things a little interesting. But I think the second thing, and one of the things that the Bears have been very, I would say it's been something that they've worked on a lot with the offense, is short, quick timing throws. And I think that is going to be a big thing for Fields this year, right? Because this offense is timing based. And I think being able to get Chase Claypool out over the middle of the field, having a guy like DJ Moore who can consistently get open, and obviously you got Darnell Mooney as your deep guy, I think that having the right personnel and being able to run the offense that Luke Getsy actually wants to run is going to be huge for getting Justin Fields comfortable and making him realize that you don't have to do a 3 or 5 step drop and immediately panic and run for your life. You know, there's going to be a structure to this offense. There's going to be more attacking over the middle of the field. There's going to be more check down to the running back. And I think that's also something they've been working with him as well, too, when you look at just the overall check down. I mean, he's not a quarterback that checks down very often. You can go back over the last 2 years and really look at some of the plays that he's made and the fact that there were times when receivers were NFL open and he simply didn't trust it. So I think it's just it's a conglomeration of different things. But I think obviously the offensive line is big, and I think also getting everything in terms of being a timing offense and getting things going over the middle field, the short and intermediate stuff, I think is where it's going to make or break whether or not Fields is going to be able to basically break the bad habit of just simply, you know, letting the play break down, not getting rid of the ball, and then having to improvise for himself sometimes.
Aaron Lemming does a great job covering the Bears for the Bear Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. If you don't, just know that Dick Butkus does and that you should also do the same. Aaron, I want to ask you, you mentioned earlier a few minutes ago talking about the comparisons, which are, as a Bears fan, I find myself getting in that as well. It's like, oh, we'd love to see Justin Fields become Jalen Hurts, follow that path, which understandably in terms of his athleticism and maybe the trajectory can be something that he lives up to, or Josh Allen is a high bar one as well. And a big thing, turning point-wise for those guys, you get Allen, you provide him with Stephon Diggs. Mm. You get Jalen Hurts, and you provide him with A.J. Brown to go along with Devontae Smith. D.J. Moore, what's the difference in terms of caliber of DJ Moore versus those guys? I don't think that he's maybe at that level, but maybe a rung below. And then how do you think the Bears will go about utilizing him in this offense?
Well, I think as far as DJ Moore goes, I think for one, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, when you're talking like AJ Brown and those guys, he's probably a rung below that, and that's fine. I mean, I think they're, when you're talking about, and it's kind of turned into a fantasy term, but when you're talking about like receiver one, right, when you're talking about your top receiver on your team, there are multiple levels to that, as we know. I mean, there are guys like Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, who completely break the game and control the game. And then you have guys like A.J. Brown that come in and that are very good receivers that maybe aren't quite to that level. And then I think a rung below that is where you have DJ Moore, where it's like, okay, you know, maybe he's not the most physically imposing guy. He's not the most dominant player on the field at all times. But he's also somebody that I think for the Bears especially fits exactly what the Bears needed, right? He's the guy that can get open. And I think that was a big, big question mark, you know, even last season, where it was like Darnell Mooney was being relied upon so much more. And simply put, I mean, he couldn't produce at the level that they were hoping he was going to be able to. And I think with adding DJ Moore, you knock everybody down a peg, and I think it's perfect, because all of a sudden you have Chase Claypool or Darnell Mooney, whatever, is your 2 and 3. You know, in one way or order there. So I think that that's kind of where that all kind of plays in. I think Moore is going to be huge for this offense because, one, I mean, like I said, he can get open. He's a great route runner. But I think, two, he's also somebody who can be a deep threat as well. So I think when you're just kind of looking at the overall offense and how much that one addition changes the receivers and the pass catchers, I think it's huge. And I think it's huge for the fit of the offense. The fact, like I said, I mean, the biggest thing is he can get open.
Aaron Lemming, our guest, Tapman's Towing phone line, another guy that can get open. Last 2 years, 110 catches, 9 total touchdowns in his NFL career, and just built for the Bears. He was born in Chicago or near Chicago, went to Notre Dame. That's Cole Komet, I'm talking about tight end. The tight end, Aaron, has become such a big thing in the NFL, and if you have that guy, right, like a Travis Kelce, then you have such a weapon that nobody else has. And I'm not – obviously putting Cole Komet anywhere near Travis Kelce. But in terms of him, he came down a little bit last year in catches, but up in touchdowns. What do you think about him, and how does he fit with this offense and Fields in general?
Well, I think, you know, with Komet, really what they've done with this entire tight end room, you know, this offseason has been very interesting, because to me, I think it signals, one, obviously you go out and you extend a guy like Cole Komet. I think it's, you know, obviously a culture setter type of situation. And also, I mean, he's a good, not great tight end. I don't know how high his ceiling is. But, you know, again, his NFL comp coming out of college was, you know, a guy that also went to Notre Dame, and Kyle Rudolph. And yeah. I think that he's absolutely following that. And here's the reality. There are, what, two, maybe three elite tight ends in the NFL, and really there's only – yeah, I mean, there's one that's, like, you know, all above Brad, Travis Kelce. So I think when you're looking at a guy like Komet, I think the big thing for him is obviously he's going to be that safety valve, but also he needs to be better in the red zone. I think that's kind of the big thing. You noted all those touchdowns last year. A lot of those were in broken down coverage. Not many of those were actually in the red zone. So I think, at least for me, that's something I'm looking for. But again, you know, when you look at how they built out this tight end room, I mean, you bring in a guy like Robert Tonyan, who was basically going to be the move tight end, which is going to put, you know, Cole Kmet more as kind of the Y, kind of the inline blocker, you know, which I think is going to be better for his skill set. And then again, you bring in a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who, even at 39 years old, is a really good blocker. So it's going to allow them to run a lot more 12 personnel. And again, kind of going back to what we're talking about earlier, it's like Luke Getsy finally has the pieces for his offense.
Yep.
Maybe not as elite as what some people, you know, were hoping or whatever it may be, but just having the fit in order to be able to run the offense, I think it's going to be huge. And I think the tight ends are going to be very involved.
Aaron, one more quickly, offensively speaking, we talked about it in the first segment. I've seen quite a bit on social media, which you do got to take with a grain of salt, because I've joked that you could find a positive tweet or training camp report about maybe every player in the NFL. Chase Claypool is one of those guys that's getting it so far in recent weeks. But I have read some stuff from reporters that are actually there every day that, hey, this has been one of the bright spots of the Bears camp so far. What is your level of trust or just genuine interest in him making that step? Because last year, I mean, once he came over to the Bears, he was largely invisible in that offense.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, and I think that kind of goes back to the DJ Moore thing, right? Because now you're not relying on, you know, two guys that should be number two and number three in your offense in terms of receivers. You know, you're not relying on them to be that number one guy anymore. And I think that's a big thing. I mean, a lot of the highlights and a lot of the, you know, the big moments that have happened in camp so far, you know, with reports, have been him over the middle of the field. And I think that that's a big thing where you can move him into the slot, you can move him out wide. I will say, here's what I will say is I think that Chase Claypool has all the talent in the world. I think a lot of people forget how athletic he was in terms of how he tested coming out of Notre Dame. I mean, he was a freak. But I think you look at those first 2 years and he produced a lot in Pittsburgh, and then the last two have been, you know, somewhat questionable. My bigger concern with him is he's going into a contract year, right? Like, we've already seen what Darnell Mooney can do. We already know what Darnell Mooney is. Even if he doesn't get any better than what he is, he's a great number two receiver. My concern with Chase Claypool is, he has one big year. Is he going to be able to replicate that again? And I think that that's going to be something that, you know, when you're talking about receiver extension and the future of this team, that's going to be something that the Bears are going to have to weigh quite a bit.
I know I just spent like the first seven or eight questions on offense. And
that's what we do, though.
It's kind of like if you give the Bears fan an offense, like if you give a mouse a cookie, that's the old reference there. What I wanted to get you on late last week for was the signing of a pass rusher, which the Bears have sorely needed, and that's Yannick Ngakoue from the Colts, who last year I think he had 9 sacks, and he's been someone that's been in the double digits as far as sacks go. How big of that was that signing for the Bears? Again, it seemed like that's up front in particular, maybe across the board, the front four and whatnot, but pass rush was really something on their roster. Of course, you get rid of Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. They really needed it. How much is that satisfying, that need, and what can Bears fans expect out of him?
I think it's huge. I mean, that was, I don't know if I'd say it's the missing piece, because, I mean, obviously they're still in the midst of a rebuild. This is still a young roster, very, very improved roster from last year. But, I mean, man, they needed one of those true pass rushers, and I think that's exactly what you're going to get in a guy like Ngakoue. You know, he's definitely more of a speed guy. Definitely has some deficiencies against the run, regardless of what the coaching staff wants to say. I mean, it's, you know, they say go and watch the tape. Well, you can watch the tape. He struggles against the run. That's fine. He's a pass rusher. It is what it is. I mean, the reason that you have rotational guys, and the reason that Matt Eberflus has basically, if you go back and you look at his defenses over the last 5 years, he usually has two guys that take over 70% of the snaps. Now, Ngakoue may be more in the 55 to 60. That's fine. A lot of the defensive ends will be the same way. Same thing with defensive tackles. But, man, just getting that pass rushing presence, I think, is going to be huge. It's really hard to be worse than they were last year, although I was a little concerned before they made that move. Because you look at it, it's like, where are the sacks going to come from? I mean, when your leading sack guy is a linebacker to safety from last year, they need help. So I think Ngakoue makes a ton of sense. I think the other thing that's interesting is that they had a chance to go out and sign a guy like Justin Houston for, you know, $6, $7 million. I mean, they're both one-year deals. I think what this says is if Ngakoue works out and he's a culture fit, I mean, this is somebody that they could easily re-sign next year. They're going to have a lot of money again.
Aaron, I really like the talent level of the secondary. Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, Eddie Jackson, Jaquan Brisker. You look at especially Gordon and Brisker, high draft picks that the Bears spent on the previous draft. So they were rookies last year. And I liked some of the flashes that I saw from both those guys. Eddie Jackson's been a lightning rod for criticism in recent years. But I thought he had an improved season last year just watching those games. I thought he was a little bit more physical than we had gotten used to. What do you think of that group on the back end, and maybe how do they fare in contrast or just stacking up? I don't want to make you say, well, they're a top five unit in the league or anything, but are they an average back end? Are they above average? What do you think about that group?
Well, I think at least – I think on paper you probably have to rate them as average, right? But I think there's a lot of upside with that group. I mean, you're talking about Eddie Jackson's awesome last year. I mean, obviously before he got hurt, he was awesome. He looked like the Eddie Jackson of old. Obviously didn't have quite as many takeaways or, you know, pick fixes as before, touchdowns. But, I mean, he was back. And I think, you know, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon are the two guys that they took in the second round last year, going in the second year. I think they're both going to have big years. And then, you know, Jalen Johnson's a really good player. And then they got two rookies battling out right now for that other boundary corner spot. I mean, this is probably the highest upside group we've seen since probably year two or three of Vic Fangio. I mean, this is a group that should be vastly improved. And like I said, on paper right now, you'd probably, you know, grade them out as an average unit. But I think at the end of the year, it honestly wouldn't shock me at all if we're talking about this group as like a top 10 group overall. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of guys that can actually play the ball and, you know, cause turnovers. And I think that's going to be a big thing for them.
All right, last one for you, Aaron.
Hey, I'm here. I'm listening.
I could have let you ask.
No. I don't have any. This is perfect.
What's your thoughts on Kyler? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Let's not go in that direction. Another quarterback, though, I do want to ask about, not in a Bears uniform, Jordan Love. What do you think about Jordan Love, the Packers? Some people still, whether it's just every year, pencil the Packers in to win the North. They didn't last year. That was the Vikings. But what do you think of him going into this year, and what are kind of your expectations up there in Green Bay?
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't want to say – here's the thing, man. I don't want to say anything too negative because we've seen how this goes many times before. Here's what I will say. Aaron Rodgers is no longer a quarterback. The chances that they're going to have three Hall of Fame quarterbacks back-to-back-to-back-to-back is very unlikely. It's going to be interesting, though. I think if you're looking at it from a Bears fan's perspective, right, I don't know that you want Jordan Love to be absolutely awful this year, right? I think you want him to be just – good enough for the Packers to be like, hey, we want to give this guy another shot. Just painstakingly average or slightly below average like the Bears have been dealing with for God knows how long now, right? Because you don't want the Packers to be awful, you know, get one of the top two quarterbacks in this next draft class and then relive the same thing over and over and over. I think it's tough. I wasn't a big fan of Jordan Love coming out of Utah State. I'm still not, but at the same time, I do feel like he's been a little unfairly judged considering, I mean, he's taken, what, you know, less than 200 snaps total in the NFL. But I don't know, man. This definitely feels like the kind of a turning point. And, you know, Green Bay's due for some bad luck at the quarterback position. I mean, Bears fans know how much, you know, how much of a struggle it is, you know, finding that quarterback. And it feels like this may be kind of the end of the road for Green Bay, and it may be a little bit of an exploratory process for them.
Even I am ready for that. As someone that doesn't have, you know, a dog in the fight, I'm even ready for Green Bay to be just normal for a few years and understand what – have that fan base understand what it's like to be all of us. So I am fine with that. I don't mean to be mean like that, but it's time. It's time for them to experience it. Aaron Lemming, it's always great to catch up, buddy. Tapman's Towing phone line, Aaron Lemming, the Bear Report. He is who you need to follow on Twitter.
And Aaron Lemming, NFL.
Boom, Aaron Lemming, NFL. Aaron, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for always answering the bell.
Absolutely. Again, thanks for having me on, and hopefully we'll be talking again relatively soon.
We will, I promise you. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks,
Good
Aaron.
Stuff, man. Not only is he willing to come on and talk about the Bears, who I think are – I'm wondering if that's one of your intriguing teams coming up.
It would feel like a homer pick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would feel. But
maybe I did it.
They're intriguing to me. But not only that, but, you know, Aaron's so good at what he does. So he's not only able to join us a lot, but he's really good, and he's got knowledge of it. And if you're a Bears fan and you're not following him on Twitter, you're missing a lot of stuff, because I follow him, and he tweets out stuff from other reporters of other teams. So I learn a lot about the NFL just from following Aaron. So you definitely need to do that. One M. So that don't get confused by that. It's Aaron Lemming with one M, NFL. Aaron Lemming, NFL.
Think about this real quick before we catch a break.
Okay.
So all of this is happening at the same time. Wisconsin basketball.
Oh, I was just thinking, like, when I started talking about that.
NIT. Yes. Missed the tournament.
Oh.
Wisconsin football.
Yep.
Had a rough year last year. Fired Paul Chryst midseason. Still went to a bowl game.
Yeah.
But then again, won't spend too much time on that. Mm-mm. You have Milwaukee Bucks, still a pretty darn good franchise, although they lost first
round.
Bowed
out early, right? Yep.
A series where they were highly favored against the Heat, lost that one. What if now it's the domino effect here and Green Bay is also going to fall?
It is amazing. Can I look at it the other way real quick? It is amazing how fortunate Wisconsin people are.
Incredible.
In that, I don't want to say little state. It's not a little state, but where they're at, positioned in the United States, for that spot to have so much go right, it is amazing. And even the Brewers have been halfway contenders, essentially.
Still in first place as of now.
Yeah. It amazes me. It amazes me how much success that essentially for so many years they've had it, all five of those that we just – I mean, it's amazing. Mm. I mean, the Bucks weren't that great for a while, then they won a title, and they have Giannis. The Brewers, have they ever won a World Series?
I don't know.
I don't know that
Robin Yount in the gang back in the 80s?
Well, did the Cardinals lose to them one time, or was that Kansas? That was Kansas City on the bay. They did beat them. I don't think Milwaukee's ever won.
They do not have a World Championship.
Okay. So you got that. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, the run that Wisconsin basketball had for so long, and then the steadiness of Wisconsin football being one of the best, not only in the Big Ten but nationally, is incredible. And then what you've had with the Green Bay Packers, even back to Bart Starr. I mean, that being born in Wisconsin, you are blessed. So for you to kind of – I had to turn that back around just to remember all the insane success – they've had.
Oof.
If you were 52, if you were 60 years old and you never left Wisconsin, you've had one hell of a life in athletics. It's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy.
Especially you look at someone my age, someone that's like 30 or in that range that didn't know the dark days of Wisconsin football.
Right? Yeah.
You'd miss out on Bart Starr. But
believe it or not, Wisconsin football and basketball used to be terrible. For a while. And then they really turned that around. So, but kudos to them as well.
Of course.
Kudos to them. They made good decisions on coaches. They've been lucky with quarterbacks. Giannis was a great job. I mean, that was pretty nice to draft that guy too. So, all right, let's talk some Illinois football, the wide receiver room. And I'll ask you out there, what are your thoughts on this wide receiver room? Yes or no? Are you high on it or not? And Pipes has five intriguing teams for this NFL season. All of that next. It is The Drive.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District's Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com. Stop.